So there's this phrase that I keep hearing, and I bet you've heard it too. I bet all our listeners have heard it, but it's this phrase that goes, disconnect to reconnect. It's this disconnect to reconnect. It's really about taking some breaks so that we can be better positioned to do our work or be in relationship or be in friendship, whatever it is. But we have to first disconnect in order to reconnect. Taking breaks and having space is an important part of nourishing healthy regulation. We're talking about finding our own rhythms for breaks and how to help students discover the power of breaks. This is Sticky Hope.
I hear that phrase, that mantra, and I think about this society that we live in that's like so connected all of the time, right? Like you can send a text message and have an answer in less than 10 seconds. Like things are just rapid fire, go, go, go. And in some ways that can be super helpful, but in other ways, like the stress and expectancy that puts on you all of the time really can drain your relationships and drain your ability to engage in those relationships. And so in our family, right, like we live a pretty intense life at times. In this foster care world, we've learned that we have to intentionally disconnect at times. And so as a matter of fact, we're about to load the whole circus, the whole Berkus circus into the van and drive up to Sugarloaf, up to camp, and spend the next 4 days without screens. Well, for the kids, when they're in bed, I'm going to be working, but we're going to intentionally take the time to choose to play and go and play in the mud and play in the stream behind the cabin and build stick forts and have campfires and be so intentional with our time together, because we live through a lot of hard together as a family. And what fuels us is this time we take to build these connections so that when things get hard, we have a foundation of love and resilience to stand on. And it took us a while to figure that out. It took us over a couple of years to really figure out like how intentional we had to be to make this time. And really kind of move it into this rhythm of taking breaks. And I would say we're just kind of starting to get there, getting into a rhythm of knowing how to spend breaks together, to be intentional with that time so that we can use that bonding and the love and foundation we're building to keep going and persevere when things get hard.
Yeah. And I would say back, you're always going to be finding the rhythm. Like that's just part of the nature of living, that as the kids get older, their schedules change, their needs change, you change. Like it's just constantly, but that question of what is the rhythm of breaks? And like we've been thinking about it in our lives, but also I think it's really important to think about what is the rhythm of breaks in your classroom. And that is something that we're sorting out. We're in the middle. It's chapter 8 in the book. And we're recording this and we have about a month to hand over the draft. So we're really trying to sort it out. And one of the reasons we wanted to talk about this was twofold. One, because we're in the middle of that chapter in the book, but also because this episode is going to be released and then we're going to have a 2-week break. And so we do think through some of these rhythms. But when we're thinking through the rhythm of breaks in our classrooms, like one thing to consider is it always teacher driven? Like that rhythm of break, is it always teacher driven? Or do students sometimes have the autonomy to really say, like, I need a break right now? And what does that break look like? It doesn't always have to be something that we're all doing together. So a lot of teachers have brain breaks built in, and maybe you're playing some sort of music, or there's a song, or there's a little game or something that's happening, which are fine. But our breaks don't always have to be like a collective break where we're all doing the same thing. We can also take breaks in some different ways.
And I think it's so important to honor how every kid's brain might need a different thing, or like groups of kids are going to need like a movement break, or a, like, sometimes they need a break from sound, or they need a break from the fluorescent lighting. And how are you going to provide and honor the different needs? My school's OT, our occupational therapist, does this in such a beautiful way. She like identifies the different kinds of breaks kids need when she starts to see that, like she says, like as she sees them popping up, she finds ways to help them go get back down. And she has just like this wealth of knowledge in her brain that's like, I can see that this kid needs a high energy movement break, and this kid has no energy to give to movement, so I'm going to give them like a yoga pose to handle. And she's kind of where I started. Her thinking around this really prompted me to start doing this thinking around how to honor it and make it less teacher directed, right? Not totally eliminating the teacher direction in it, but allowing for more choice and voice and honoring the experiences of each child in the breaks that you're offering. I think another really important part around breaks and offering kids breaks is honoring the fact that even in the midst of a tricky situation, taking a break, taking space is an acceptable choice, right? And sometimes it is really the best option. Taking space from a really hard situation as the child experiencing the really tricky behavior could be the very thing that regulates them and allows them to process. And sometimes as the adult navigating the tricky behavior with the child, you might need a break in the midst of it too. And being able to know the protocols around that and follow through with it is important too.
Yeah, there's a lot to breaks. And like, I guess I'm thinking through, sure. You just took us through this really big kind of continuum of the breaks. So one of the things that we're definitely thinking about is when we see some tricky behavior, one of our options, right, is to take a break. And maybe even take a break might be the wrong word, but like to take space. So last episode, you were talking about Whitney and the way she said, like, when you repeat directions, it doesn't help me.
Yeah.
And you were like, well, so I'll ask her to go get her folder. And then I'm watching her and she's not moving. So I'm like, Whitney, go get your folder. And maybe sometimes what she actually needs, like instead of repeating that, we can just give some space. Right. And sometimes I think we see kids escalating and we're trying to fix it, or we're trying just to push forward, where sometimes we can simply ask the question, do you need some space? And what that means, like when I say, do you need some space? What that means is you just need a few minutes to gather yourself.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just need to say to myself, do I need some space? Like as teachers, we're really great at getting things organized, right? Of organizing things, of moving through the flow. And sometimes I need to stop, right? Like there are responsibilities that students have, and I don't always have to be the one reminding them. I can take some space. And I'm so surprised how often when I just take a little space, those things get done. And it happens much more easily than me trying to just manage it all super quickly.
For sure. And when I'm in those moments with Whitney or Rex or any of my other children, I start to think about this thing that my children at home, their therapist said to me is like, Becca, you're energizing the situation. I'm putting so much of my own energy into a situation that doesn't need more energy, right? Like if Whitney's not getting her folder, like me exerting the energy to remind her four times in the next 2 minutes is not going to help anybody, right? It's going to further exhaust and frustrate me. And clearly isn't helping Whitney either. And so if I choose to take those 2 minutes to take a deep breath and focus on the good, like the kids who are getting their folder and doing the next step. It allows Whitney to have the time she needs for her brain, and she gets a break from her kindergarten teacher who's repeating things all the time when that's not helping her brain. And I get to put my energy into like a positive momentum instead of like a draining situation, and removing some of the energy from a negative spiral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the other thing that we were thinking, like just that idea of the rhythm of breaks in the day, but also in our own lives. And so I just admire the way that you are planning like intentional time to disconnect and some time away. One of the things that I know is true for me is each week I really need like a 24-hour period where I'm not working, where I'm not really connected, like I'm not answering messages, I'm not opening email. I'm really disconnecting from technology, but specifically from work. And when I'm able to do that, I'm just have more energy. I'm more prepared for the week. My stamina is better. And when I'm not strict with that practice, then I just always feel like I'm behind. I can be overwhelmed. I can feel like I'm just never getting things done. I'm never getting caught up. And I'm just amazed at the way breaks help us actually feel more accomplished, right? It's so silly, but it's like when I have that time scheduled in, so I have like that weekly time, which I've not been very good about. And I've been feeling overwhelmed because I've not been strict with myself. But I also try to like think through that daily also. So my role is a little bit different. And I often will have like a block, like a whole day where I have to work. And I need to time block that day out. And what I've noticed is if I don't give myself some space for a break, every few hours, then I'm just, I really run out of energy and run out of stamina. And I think the same is true for our kids. So when we think about our classroom day, you know, a teacher gets a prep, but students are off with, you know, doing more work. They're with another classroom usually. And so like, just really thinking about that idea of when do we have space? When do we have breaks? I think it's an important thing to think about, especially right now when we're on summer break.
Yeah. So we're working to be super intentional in our breaks, and we're really hoping that you take the time to consider how you're caring for yourself by taking breaks. And as you're thinking about in your classroom, how you're going to use breaks, you're considering all the different ways that breaks can come into play and how important it is to do that for your students and for yourself.
Some days are rough. Maybe you've had a day, complete with a capital D, in your classroom. We understand. We've been there too, and we want to help. The best thing on a rocky day is a good, old-fashioned care package. At first, that seemed impossible. But then we remembered Walt Disney said, "It's fun to do the impossible." So we rolled up our sleeves and put together a soul-soothing care package for teachers. We call it the Sticky Hope Kit and would love to send it to you. Just go to stickyhope.com/stickyhopekit. There's no spaces, just all together, stickyhope.com/stickyhopekit.